All right, welcome tonight. Let's make our way to the book of Revelation, last chapter of the Bible, right? Last book of the Bible, I'm sorry. We're not quite to the last chapter yet, but we're getting close. We're in Revelation 19. We've looked at the opening 10 verses of this chapter, so we're going to pick up in verse 11 and read through verse number 14, Revelation chapter 19. Look on together here, Revelation 19, verses 11 through 14. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Lord, this exciting passage here, Lord, as we look at your second coming back to this earth. Really, I believe all of creation yearns for this day. When this sin-cursed world is going to receive your touch and your very presence. Help us in understanding of this important doctrine. In Jesus' name, amen. Everything we've been studying in the book of Revelation has been leading to the second coming of Christ. For centuries, scoffers have tauntingly said, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Well, those scoffers will be silenced one day, this day of his second coming. Jesus Christ is coming back to earth at the end of the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation period. He's coming back. Up to this point in our study of the tribulation, we've seen how the Lord has been on his throne in heaven and been directing earth's judgments. But now he comes to the point here in our study where we see that he gets up from the throne, he leaves heaven, and he descends to earth in judgment. He's coming back in judgment before he establishes his millennial reign. So I want to see here right off here, we look here in verse 11, we see the appearing of Christ. John here says, "And I saw heaven opened." So we look up and we see the opening of the sky. "And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." With Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, that unholy trinity, as they have attempted dominion over the world during the tribulation, we now see the Lord Jesus Christ return. And he comes back differently than when he came the first time. Remember, the Lord's already made his first coming to the earth 2,000 years ago. But when he comes again, it's going to be a contrast. I want to notice here his nobility in verse number, and his nobility. Let me reference back to Revelation 1:7, right back to the opening chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:7 also gave a glance of the second coming. And it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." The first time, Jesus came unnoticed by the world. The second time, every eye will see him. In his first coming, Jesus Christ humbled himself, being born in a manger in Bethlehem. When he comes again, he will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In his first coming, he was despised and rejected of men. When he comes again, all scorn will cease as he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. He came the first time as the Lamb of God. He comes again as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now you're seeing the contrast from his first coming to his second coming. In his first coming, Jesus Christ came to earth in humility and grace as he humbled himself, taking on the body, the form of a man. And he laid down his life as a sacrificial lamb. On his triumphal entry to Jerusalem, just days before he was crucified, he rode on a lowly donkey, symbolic of Christ being a humble servant as he came the first time to serve mankind and paying the price for our sins. 2,000 years ago, the religious rulers shouted in scorn, "He saved others! Let him save himself!" Yet the day is coming when the whole world will see Jesus Christ as he really is. In his second coming, he returns in power upon a white horse, fit for the faithful and the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is in contrast to the Antichrist, who we see come on the scene at the beginning of the tribulation. Remember the Antichrist as he appeared in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2? Remember he came, he also comes and he presents himself to the world. He presented himself 7 years earlier. He presented himself on a white horse. Yet, he's a counterfeit. He was a phony. He's a very antithesis of Jesus Christ. The Antichrist came and riding a white horse, coming with a bow with no arrows, coming, speaking a message of peace. And by peace deceives the world. He came, but what a counterfeit he turned out to be. He presented himself as if he was the Christ, the Messiah, as he comes and how as Israel even welcomes and receives him and trusts him in making a peace accord. And yet, we saw how phony he was. It is Jesus, the true Christ, who is faithful and true. In contrast to the Antichrist, who is unfaithful. He was unfaithful to his word. He broke that peace covenant with Israel. He was unfaithful. He is false. The Antichrist is false as he came and deceived the world. What a contrast between the one who comes in a white horse at the beginning of the tribulation, appearing and deceiving the world as if he is the Christ. And what a contrast between the true and faithful Christ who's returning at the end of the tribulation period. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, he returns in power. Notice he is called faithful and true. He is faithful. He has done and will do everything that God the Father asked him to do. "It's done as thou hast commanded," he can say. Jesus is true. He is true to his word. Christ promised to return. And as this passage shows, his promise will be fulfilled. The faithful and true Lord comes as he overpowers the lies and the deceit of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet who've been having their way with the world. And so we see here in the opening here with the appearing of Christ, we see his nobility. The faithful and true one has come. Notice here his nature. We see at the end of verse 11, "In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His judgment on the earth during the tribulation, of course, it began, we saw, at the breaking of the seals, followed by the blowing of the trumpets, and then culminating with the pouring out of the vial judgments. But now in his judgment, he physically returns to the earth. He personally returns, and he makes war. Oh, Jesus makes war? That doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? Oh, the shock, some that would name Christ or identify as Christians, to hear that Jesus makes war. Oh, notice he does it in righteousness. Notice the nature, the deception of Satan, and the defiling of the sin of man that we see so evident today, that culminates in the tribulation. That's not going to continue. Today, Satan's having his way. Today, man and sin is defiling and bold and living in defiance to the ways of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, that's put to an end. Jesus says, no more, we're cleaning things up. Man's not going to continue in his defilement and in his debauchery and his defiance against the Lord. Jesus is coming back in judgment. He's going to make war. He's going to clean that up real quick. The ways of Satan and the culmination of his kingdom with the Antichrist, and Jesus is going to clean that up. That's not going to continue. The kingdom, their kingdom does not last long. And so when he comes back, Jesus Christ takes back the rule of the earth. The earth that's rightfully his, the earth that he created, amen? Satan will no longer be the god of this world. Jesus Christ is going to rule. He's the god of the world. And he's going to clean things up. His nature, notice verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. We saw that description in Revelation chapter 1 as well. And notice it speaks of the judgment. No longer are tears running down his eyes as he once wept over Jerusalem. No longer do we see tears. Now he returns with vengeance. Now he returns with eyes as a flame of fire. Now he returns in judgment. He's going to judge. He's got some things to clean up here. He's got some things to judge. He does it all in righteousness. Nothing will be done unfair. No one will rightly be able to say that wasn't right what Jesus did. No, it will all be done in righteousness. That's his nature. Amen. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 gives this insight. And flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who don't obey the gospel don't know God, amen? They know, may know all about him, but they don't know him personally. And so when he comes back, he takes vengeance on those who don't obey the gospel, those who rejected him, those who did not receive him by faith, those who trusted in their works, those who outright rejected him. His vengeance is not evil, but in righteousness he doth judge and make war, as he executes impartial and righteous judgment. His judgment will be impartial. Either you're saved or you're not saved. This isn't the final judgment of the lost, but this is what he's going to first deal with when he comes back to this earth. It's going to be full of lost people. It's going to be full of people who rejected Christ. It's going to be full of people who have the mark of the beast. And they're not going to enter into his kingdom. And so he's going to judge. He's going to make war against them. He will put them in outer darkness, and he'll deal with them 1,000 years later. He'll deal with them at the great white throne judgment. But he's going to deal with those who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, we've seen in our study through Revelation the attitude of those who reject Christ during the tribulation. We've seen how they reject him. We see how they call out to rocks and ills to fall on them, but they will not call out to the rock, Jesus Christ. We see those who hate Jesus. We see it today, amen? But we've seen specific scripture mentioning the attitude of those who reject him during the 7 years of tribulation. So he comes back with vengeance. He comes back, he does it right. Nothing's done in the flesh like we may do it, right? Everything is done righteously. And the Lord returns in power as judge and executioner over the forces of evil who oppose him. He's going to deal with Satan. He's going to deal with the Antichrist. He's going to deal with the false prophet. He's got a place for them. He's going to deal with the nations that rise in opposition against him. And through his judgment, his righteous nature is made known. Jesus does make war here. But I want you to notice it's his righteousness. His righteous nature is made known as Jesus is righteous. And all his judgments are all done right. He is justified when he comes and returns. He's justified for destroying the Antichrist kingdom. And we've seen that destruction already in Revelation 18, right? Even prior to his coming, we see the destruction of Babylon. He's right. He's just. He should do this. It's the right thing to do, amen? And so that's his nature. It means in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And he comes to make things right. During the Antichrist kingdom, he's, you know, everything that was good, he made evil. Everything that's evil, he made to be good. So Jesus Christ has got to come back and combat that and make things right. We notice in his appearing, we see his nobility. We see the revelation. People will visibly see Jesus Christ come back. We see his nature of righteousness. And we see in his appearing his name. Note verses 12 and 13. Continue verse 12. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In his first coming, Jesus was mockingly crowned with a crown of thorns as they placed a scoffing title above his head of the cross, reading in part, King of the Jews, as Israel despised and rejected their king. Yet the Lord returns in power, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He returns in power as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the many crowns indicate he rules and reigns supreme over all. That's what King of Kings means, amen? He reigns supreme, many crowns, amen? We saw in Satan, in the tribulation, the crowns there, the crowns of the Antichrist, and our Lord has many crowns. He reigns supreme, and believe me, Satan knows it. The Antichrist knows it, and it will be very evident when they see him, and we're with them, praise God. And so he rules supreme over all. The secret name written, it reminds us there's so much about our Lord that we don't know that only he knows. He's the omniscient. He's the all-knowing God. There's a name that only he knows. Oh, don't worry. Some radio preacher will probably tell you what it is, right? He knows. No one else knows, but he'll know, right? The YouTube preacher will tell you. No one knows. There's some mystery. There's some things. Remember, his ways aren't our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. He's way above us. So here's some mysterious name that we don't know. But what we do know about the name of Jesus is Philippians 2:9. The Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." We do know that about his name, amen? Whatever this name is that no man knows, and what we do know, that he has a name, the name of Jesus Christ is a name that's above every name. And the Lord returns in power. Notice he's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. So like a vest dipped in blood, red, with a stain of blood on it. As he returns in power, having been the faithful and true Savior to redeem lost sinners to himself. How are sinners redeemed? Through the power of his blood, his sinless blood. His blood-dyed vesture. I believe that from the description here, behold, the heavens open. Before he's on the earth, he's already leaving heaven. He's got this red-stained vesture, blood-stained vesture. I believe the blood is his blood. His blood-dyed vesture, it's a reminder of Christ's precious blood that was shed for us to redeem us from our sins and to give us a home in glory and so that we can reign with him. The blood of Christ, it's either a witness for you or against you. And in returning to the earth and returning as a reminder, a visible reminder of his blood that paid the price for man's sins, as he returns, it's going to be a witness against those on the earth who rejected him. There's a visible reminder, Christ and the blood-stained vesture and the price that he paid. Don't forget, he returns with the wounds, the nail prints are in his hands, amen? That's visible. The Jews will see that. And he'll make known he did that for his friend. And it's going to be a reminder, look at my blood was shed for you. Your works cannot earn you salvation. Your goodness, your church, your religion, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that blood-stained vesture will be a visible reminder to all the world this day that it was by his blood. It's a witness for you, for me, who I'm saved, I'm trusting in the finished work of Christ, his blood shed for me, his death, burial, resurrection. His blood's a witness that I'm saved. His blood has covered my sins forever and paid in full. But for those who reject him, will be a witness against him. For those who receive Christ, his blood cleanses from all sin. But for those who reject Christ, their blood will then be required as they face judgment for their sin. But their blood will not atone. The Lord returns in power. Here's a name we are familiar with. Verse 13 says, and his name is called the Word of God. Notice all capitals. Of course, Jesus Christ has always been the Word. He's the incarnate Word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And still is God, right? The Word of God, that's Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God. He's the Alpha and Omega. That first letter of the Greek alphabet, that last letter of the Greek alphabet. Here he is, the Alpha and Omega. He returns as all that is written will be fulfilled by the incarnate Word of God, Jesus Christ. And the victory will be won by the power of his word. We're going to see how he makes war. We're going to see how he deals with them. He does it by his word. Are we going to be there and swords and the battlefield? No, not quite. We'll be there. I'm going to get to that here, but everything's won by his word. Isn't that how victory's won in our life? By his word? The victories that we attain today, it's by his word and his spirit. So we see the appearing of Christ and his second coming. It will be seen by all. This is the revelation. Listen, when he reveals himself to all the world, and he reveals himself, and all the world will see him, every eye will see him, as he returns in the fullness of his power. Remember the first time? He didn't come in the fullness of his power. He was 100% Christ, God, but he humbled himself. He came in restraint and taking on the form of a man. But when he returns, he comes back in the fullness of his power and in the fullness of his glory. Riding a white horse, Jesus leads the way. As we see next, we see those who come with him. So from the appearing of Christ, we look next here at the armies of Christ. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's our uniform, amen? Prior to the seven-year tribulation, prior to what we would call pre-tribulation, Jesus came in the clouds for his bride. Now at the end of the tribulation, he comes with his bride, comprised of the saints of the church age. That was last week's study. Colossians 3:4 tells us, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, his second coming, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So when he appears, we're going to appear. Notice the bride follows the leadership of the Lord. God's design, amen? But his bride is only part of the armies. Notice it doesn't say the army, it says the armies. The bride's just part of the armies as the saved saints of the Old Testament and the saved saints of those who were martyred during the tribulation. We saw those souls waiting there under the altar of heaven. And so those will also follow the Lord as the host of armies are clothed in fine linen, white and clean, as all will participate in his return and the formation of the millennial kingdom. So for 1,000 years, there aren't going to be saints up in heaven. They're going to be right where Jesus is, on the earth. So everyone's coming down from heaven. Notice also the host of angels come with Christ. So not only the saved from all the ages, there is distinctions between the bride, which is the church, and the Old Testament saints, not all of whom were under the law, but the going back from Adam to John the Baptist, and there's a distinction between the tribulation saints. There is distinctions, but also the host of angels come. We know that because Jesus spoke of it himself in Matthew 25:31. Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, that's the second coming, and all the holy angels with him. Notice he said all the holy angels are coming with him too. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory in his millennial kingdom. And so, and 2 Thessalonians 1:7 also mentions the angels. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. What a host that's going to be. Jesus Christ is leading the way. He's the leading general, right? He's on the white horse. He's leading the way to the battle. He's leading the way to come back to this earth, to take back the earth that's rightfully his, to take it back, to judge and make war against Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and those who reject him. And he's going to clean things up. There'll be a battle. We're going to see next week that he's going to clean things up. But everyone's coming back with him. His bride, the saints of old, the saints of the tribulation, the mighty angels, all the mighty angels. What a sight that's going to be. And all around the earth are going to watch. And for those that know not Christ, that is going to be a fearful sight. for those saints who survived, endured to the end, for Israel who took heed and ran out of Jerusalem and made their way, and where God took care of and protected them, it will be a welcome sight. The second coming of Christ, it's long been prophesied. We see the prophecy going all the way back to the days of Enoch. Do you remember Enoch, who walked with God and was not? He prophesied of this day. Can you believe it? He's the seventh descendant from Adam. So we're talking back to the beginning days of men have all looked forward to this time. Enoch prophesies, as the book of Jude in verses 14 through 16 tell us. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He's coming back. Enoch prophesied of this in his day. This is before the flood. And he prophesied, he made known. And he says, oh, the Lord's coming with 10,000s of his saints, and all the ungodly, he's going to execute judgment upon them. He said about the ungodly sinners, he says in Jude 16, these are murderers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Oh, he's coming back. It's long been prophesied. We see the time, the timing, when it will be at the end of the tribulation. What a sight it will be when the Lord of hosts appears with his armies to combat Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and all those who follow him. What a sight. For them, it will be a day of judgment. But for those of us who love God, it will be a day of justice. We'll see the details of the victory of the Lord as we continue here in Revelation 19 in our next study. Lord, we love you. Oh, Lord, as we see the second coming, when you come back with your bride, with all the saints, with all the mighty angels, and you come back and you rightfully take back this world. This world today that is sin-cursed, this world today that Satan in his system is long deceived. Oh, what a day that will be, and what a blessing to be counted part of the army, specifically the bride of Christ, to return with you. When you make things right, when justice shall be served. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.